Praise the Lord. Well, we're going back in our teaching this morning. We started last week. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body. And we were using scriptures from Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 16 says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We also use a scripture from Proverbs, where the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching out all the inward parts. The King James says the belly, and the New King James says the heart, the depths of the heart, which really that's what it is. That when the term belly there is not talking about your stomach. It's actually the word is also used as womb. In other words, inside of us, the Spirit of God lives in us, in our spirit. And we started last week talking about it because this is a very, really important subject dealing with spirit, soul, and body. And we started last week using from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, which says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." This is a hugely important thing. The Word of God is the only thing that can divide spirit and soul. The difference between the two. You can't go to psychiatry or psychology and find it. The Word of God is the only thing that teaches it and the only thing you can understand. And it's important understood because, you know, I just want to say this. The word soul, almost in every one use of it in these songs we sang, is incorrect. See, they deal with the soul. See, people say soul and they say spirit. They say they like they're interchangeable. They're not. You know, we sang there and they say, well, the blood was the cleansing the whole way to my soul. The blood didn't cleanse your soul. the blood didn't do that. That's why we say, if the blood cleansed your soul, we wouldn't need teaching. We just know everything and we'd all, well, I'll tell you what, I found out that wasn't true. We deal with the soul of man, we're dealing with man's thoughts, intents, because we find out the Word of God deals in the area here, it says, and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, the Word of God brings out what's in your spirit, what's in the inner man. And your soul has to be renewed. And we talked about that some last week, but we're gonna, you know, go over some of these again because it's hugely important because we're dealing with what our job is. You know, God, we accepted Jesus Christ and we got born again. We became new creatures. And we know the outer man was not changed. When if you looked in the mirror, you were still the same person. And, you know, it's when you get born again, it doesn't change the outer man. Now, the inner man has to have an effect. Is one thing that's going to determine whether you can follow God is what you do with your soul. If you don't become very spiritual, it's because of you, not because of God or not because of the devil. It's because of us. The renewing of the mind. Renewing the mind. The mind is not your brain. And we'll look at more things in scripture in this because, you know, If your brain was your mind, then therefore when you died, you'd lose your mind. Well, wouldn't it? When you go to heaven, you wouldn't have a mind because you lost it. It's dead. I need to understand that the soul operates in this natural realm through our mind and stuff, through our body, through our brain. Our brain is nothing more than a thing that allows, it's sort of a key between your soul and your body being able to operate. Now, if you want to become spiritual, you have to be able to operate from your spirit to become spiritual. You can't be spiritual in your body. Your body's dead in sin. And your brain is part of that. And your brain will want to follow a lot of what the body wants to do. So if your brain, you're just going to follow, because see, your brain's connected to your, to all your senses, your sight, your touch, your smell, taste, all this, it's connected to all that. And that thing's feeding information to you all the time. And that feeds you information. You need to understand your body. Your body's dead in sin. So it's not a good judge of anything. Your body is not going to be a good judge of things. Because when Eve got over and followed her body, she followed her physical senses. What did she do? She sinned. Following the physical senses. See, the physical senses that aren't kept under the control and the thoughts of the spirit man, of the inner man, you're going to have trouble. And see, this is where the battle is. We have all kind of things is where we find people today. It's a very hard time. People look around this nation and all the things that are going on. And many Christians are like, oh man, we're just going to wonder. We just can't do this. Why? Because all they do is they feed themselves through the outside senses of what they see everybody else doing. They see all these things and, you know, all this stuff is happening. Well, so it must be this, you know. They don't listen to their inner man, the heart. What's going on in my inner man? What's in the inside? And, you know, the joy of the Lord's not in your body if you haven't noticed. You know, sometimes I got to make myself praise God because my body don't want to. Over the years, I've been in pastoring and I've had people say, I just couldn't worship today. I know they couldn't worship today. They do because they have a problem and their body ruled. So I can't worship God because I'm going to listen to what my body says and my mind. I'm not in the place. I'm unhappy. So they let it rule. See, we have choices in these things. We do. See, you know, is one thing is learning to overcome to what's on the inside. My inner man always wants to praise God and worship God. He always wants to. Now I have a choice. I can let things on the outside keep me from doing it, or I can just say, look, I'm going to do what I know on the inside I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. See, that's what walking by faith is. It's no problem. When everything's wonderful and good and everything out, it don't take anything to walk by faith.
That's right.
It takes zero. You know, you have no spirituality because, you know, everything's going nice at the time. We'll find out how spiritual you are when something goes wrong. That's when we'll find out how spiritual you are. That's when you find, you know, like they used to say, you squeeze toothpaste and you get a tube and you get toothpaste out of it. You don't get mashed potatoes. Well, when you're squeezed, you're going to find out what you've been filling your soul with. Your soul's the control of what you're going to go with. This is why you got to train your soul. You got to train your thinking. Whether realize it or not, like when I was in the military, that's what the Lord told me. He said, I'm going to teach you to walk by faith from your military training. What they teach you, the military, they teach you and train you for war, and they have to deal with your soul. They got to change the way you think. Because your body don't want to, you know, you go out, you see all kind of bad stuff happening, and there's people that want to do bad things to you. Now, you ain't going to be a good soldier if you're a person who is emotional every time something bad happens. You're going to be a lousy soldier. Well, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be soldiers, but I'm sorry, most of the body of Christ ain't a good soldier or a trainee soldier. Because hardships come, and that's when people just, you know, they can't take hardship. The hardships, the hard times come, and that's, things happen and go wrong, and people just, you know, they haven't trained their soul. See, the army does that. And the way they did that is they followed a principle, really, that is biblical. I don't know if they knew it when they did it. But they followed a principle from the scriptures that We had read it last week. We had went through it and read that scripture last week from Joshua 1:8, where Joshua, God said to him, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You make your way prosperous and have good success. God doesn't. God gives you the means of what God's telling us, what you need to think on, what you need to set your mind on, and you're going to have to constantly do it. See, in military training, this is one thing I knew. When God said to me, I'm going to use your military training, I knew this right away. It's going to be very repetitious. It's going to be taking the same things and doing them over and over all the time. Do them constantly. See, in the military, that's what they do. They just do the things. You'd go out and train, and they would take you the same training. And they would keep doing it all the time till you got really frustrated. And then when you were really frustrated because they're doing it all the time and you're tired of doing it, then they do it 100 times more. But what they do is they put in you a way of thinking. So when pressure comes, you follow the way of thinking and not the pressure. It is no different in this world living today. It's absolutely zero different. You have to learn to follow a path. You're either going to fill your mind with the Word of God when problems come along. This is what we do. You know, as they taught us in the military, you know, under attack, you do these certain things. This is what you do. And you know what? They drilled it into you and drilled it into you and drilled it into you till you just did it. Now you understand, I can't do that. See, I can't do that because you have choices. See, you live in America. You have a choice whether you want to come to church, whether you want to listen, what you want to do. I can't make you do anything. And if you fail, that's your fault. It's not mine. That's your fault. We can't blame the preachers. You have a Bible. You can seek God. You can look for God. You can't. See, you're going to have to sit down and decide whether you're going to take the time training or you're just going to follow sort of flow along with like most of the world does. We're just going to do enough to get by. Well, I guarantee you, you'll run to a place in your life you can't get by. You're going to run into a place. And they ain't the places you want to run into. You don't want to get there. But you want to have yourself trained so when events take place or something takes place, you don't become a casualty along the way. You don't become a hindrance to others. See, and this is why doing this, this is such an important thing, is understanding of our soul and how important it is for the renewing of the mind. You see, the groups have done, like we're today, they're talking about, well, the schools and that stuff, places in America, they make news about all this stuff that they're teaching kids in school and all kind of crazy stuff going on and everything like that. But see, they had a captive audience and they learned. We can drill whatever we want into these kids. We can do whatever. Once we get them, see, you constantly teach certain things and you do certain things and you do certain things. See, over time, years ago, say, if we back up 10 years ago, they couldn't have brought in the stuff they were doing today. Why? Because, you know, in one gulp, you don't do it. Little over time, they just kept introducing more garbage, slowly. Slowly. That's what the devil does over time. Christianity slowly went the wrong way. Slowly turned and went the wrong way. Slowly. Till they have no effect on what's going on. They don't have effect. Why? Slowly turning. See, you got to keep yourself. The principle set up in Joshua cannot be done differently. It can't be at any time. You let it go lax. It's just like military training. They're saying like today our military is really not ready, and there's even, I mean, generals and stuff and things within the military say that, you know, because they're not doing the training and the stuff that they should. They're not doing that anymore. The whole thing today is about how can we make every person that has a perverted way of life, how can we keep them happy? And it's all into that stuff. It's not they go to war. People ain't trained. I don't care how good of a weapon you give a guy. He can't use it and don't know when to use it. And what to do with it? You get the best weapon in the world. It matters not. It don't matter. We all get good at what we spend our time with. We get good at it, you know? You know, people train for, some kind of livelihood or something. And the more a person trains at it, the better they get at doing it, become more proficient at doing that job, which is very good. You want to do that in life. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You know, you can use the principles of God to train yourself and to build yourself in what area that you're working in your life to become better at it and better at it. It's number one. See, I learned this. God taught me when I was working at Reese's. I got born again, and he talked to me. You know, you got to become a really good employee. It's an example you set. So you got to set a way of thinking. You know, when everybody else is doing stuff and everything is going wrong, you can't join the crowd. You still got to walk right and do right. You got to do the right thing. You got to walk. See, meditation on the word. Don't let the word depart from your mouth. In other words, the way you talk and what you do should not be changing different with the group you're with. And the Christians do that all the time. Whoever they're hanging out with, that's how they talk. But we don't. We don't realize that. You know, we go over and make confessions. And I see people would do this all the time. He's a Christian. Yeah, you know, they make confessions and healing. They get around certain other groups and they talk a whole bunch of trash about healing. And they wonder why things don't work. It ain't gonna work. Don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth. Keep that. This is what I'm gonna say is what God says about these things. Nobody, no matter what anybody else does. Why? Because I wanna be, there's areas of life I wanna be a success in. I wanna be able to walk in that. So I gotta train myself. I gotta train the way I think. I gotta train the way I respond to things. That's what's dealing with your soul. Your soul has to be in cooperation with the inner man. The spirit. That's how he has to be in cooperation with him. One of the scriptures we looked at last week, James had said in James 1:19, and we want to read that. It says, James wrote this and said, so then, my beloved brethren, and he's speaking to Christians, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, because of this, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Now, he's talking to Christians, and their souls aren't saved. What did he say would save it? With meekness, receive the word. See, you got to come down, and we talked about, you got to admit the word's right, and I don't care what somebody else says or what's going on. If the word says such and such something, then you need to go. You know, I just read an excerpt they had below the headline, and I thought, it's so stupid, I'm not going to even bother reading it. But they said, watching horror movies can relieve stress. You know, watch Chainsaw Massacre. That would really give relief. Can you imagine? They're so perverted and sick today. I'm going to tell you, doctors are getting nuts. They're getting absolutely a bunch of insane. That, you know, watching some good old sick stuff go on, people murdered, all kind, terrorized, that's going to relieve your stress. Why? Do you take excitement in other people getting hurt? I mean, this is the stuff, and our so-called, quote, conservative news people are reporting this stuff and putting it out there. You know, why do you want to even report that sick stuff? See, the news media has gotten as sick, and I don't care for the conservatives anymore. Because all they're griping and moaning and telling you all the bad stuff all the time. You got to keep yourself focused. You know, you can't see, like say in the Second World War, the Japanese, they did that, what was the Japanese radio and had that woman, what was her name? Tokyo Rose. See what they do? They would have her talk and she would try to demoralize people. And when, you know, the troops were out there and if they would turn a radio on, that's probably all they could pick up. Out in the Philippines and those places and all the other islands. And the Japanese would put that, and they would just, a bad report all the time about what has happened in battle. You can't listen to that junk all the time. You can't succeed and do that. You can't keep listening to defeat stuff. You see enough bad stuff around you when you're in a war situation without somebody reporting even worse stuff to you. You'll never be a winner sitting around and listening to that junk all the time. And so you gotta get yourself in and take, you know, God ain't going to take your mind in control. That's your job. People say, well, I just can't control my mind. Sure. What did you do to put it out of control? See, I realize this. You know, your mind gets out of the control. Your mind starts wanting to carry off somewhere. You got to get back over to thinking right thoughts. Get yourself over. Get your mouth saying right things. Remember, a lot of people, your problems come to you because you're listening to voices. You're listening to people say stuff. You're listening to stuff. You're listening to things. Well, then use your voice. You set yourself where you're the number one voice. You have that. If you're not, and you let other people become the voice, well, then they're going to rule. And what they're saying is going to rule and dominate. That's the way it is. And if your inner man, no matter how much your inner man, your new born again spirit wants to follow God, whatever the soul sets itself to do is going to run, rule and reign. Whether it allows the spirit to reign or the flesh to reign. That's what's going to determine. Our soul, we gotta take our soul into control. We gotta, with meekness. See, what James wrote here, James writing to Christians that have flesh problem. He tells them the way you get out of the flesh problem is by planting the word in you. That's how you do it. He ain't just criticizing, he's telling them the way out. Christians who have flesh that can't quit talking dirty, can't quit doing different things and that, it's cause they spend more time talking junk than they do talking the word. Get the word. Keep saying the word and let the word get into you. Let the word, implant the word in you. Get the word in your heart. Your heart becomes strong where your soul starts responding to what's on the inside, your spirit, rather than your flesh on the outside. You gotta do that. I don't know any other way to do it. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know this system works. And I know when I don't work it. This system works. Your inner man. My inner man wants to do right. It wants to walk right. I don't ever say, well, my, you know, man's heart is always to do evil. Not mine. I'm born again. If your heart's to always do evil, it's because you ain't saved. That's your problem. My heart always wants to do right. It's born of God. My heart don't go along with the junk. But what we do, you fill your soul and you get your own soul so loud, it can get to the place where you can't hear your own heart. Many Christians arrive at that place. They're not in contact with on the inside. Because their soul has been filled, mixed with all kind of junk, mixed with all kinds of stuff. And it rules, their soul is ruling, allowing the flesh to take the thoughts of the world and what the world says is true and this and that and the other thing and whatever it is, you know. When COVID came along, Christians got on more, were more interested in the shot or not the shot than in the Word of God. Those things became the biggie. All the things that became the biggie except the Word. Is number one, all the places that they said during that time you shouldn't go because you're good, you'll get COVID. I went there. Why? Because COVID wasn't a problem. Wasn't a problem for me. I knew what the Bible said. I knew what the Bible said about it. See, I knew this. I know ministers, spirit-filled churches, where the one pastor told me, he said everybody in their church had gotten COVID and that stuff and that things. But I knew this by listening to him talk. All he talked about was COVID stuff and fussing about, the church and what you can do and the government don't want this and that and the other thing. And you guys never heard me fussing about all that stuff. And I ain't gonna. They get into all that stuff, and after a while that stuff, and it clouds out health and healing that's inside of you. It's all clouded out, full of the junk. All this stuff, fussing and fighting with people. No use fussing and fighting with sinners. They're going to act like sinners and say dumb, do dumb stuff, and don't surprise me. You know, there ain't a bunch of Christians down in Washington. There's some down there say they are, but I'm waiting for them to start acting like, stand up and say, hey, I can't go along with this junk anymore. This stuff's wrong. Even in their own parties, they don't. They don't do it. But see, they're not keeping themselves, they're focused. Everybody's focused on all this political junk. They're focused on all this stuff. And it just drives and drives. And after a while, you can want to do the right thing, and you can think you're doing the right thing, and you're not. People can't hear their hearts anymore. We got to be able to hear our hearts on the inside. What's God saying to do? See, people living in fear and being afraid of things, and the thing that people did with the shot and that kind of stuff is one thing. Is I decided I ain't gonna be afraid no matter what. Well, that shot, you might grow a 30 or something. I don't know. Well, you might. That's your faith talking. You're going to have what you say. People say, what if they force everybody to have a shot? Ed's going to do fine. That's what's going to happen. Hide and watch. See, I'm not going to talk another way about these things. See, we say the thing, you know what? People run around, Christians run around sinning, and they ain't mad about it, and they ain't upset about it, and seeing Christians living wrong and doing wrong, and nobody's saying nothing, but we'll all talk about the shot. Whether or not we should or not. Well, and all this stuff. We've lost our way. The church has lost its way. It didn't sit down with the Word. Hallelujah. If you want peace in life, I don't know any other way to get it. Worrying about all these other things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't going under, I'm going over. And I'm just settling myself. The Word's true. It says with meekness, because I tell you, sometimes what's coming outside seems bigger, but you gotta meekly say, I don't care what's going on around me, the Word's right. I'm gonna receive with meekness the Word. The Word's right. It don't look like it's working. Have you ever been in that situation? What are you gonna do? See, I find out when it don't look like it's working, the average Christian will go with whatever looks like it's working, will work. They won't stop and say, this is what the Word says. See, I learned to do that. I learned to do things. I've told the story before, about I was the day before a going on a mission trip down to Mexico, I tore a ligament in my foot. And it was like any afternoon. I was getting some things ready for that and going, because I'm going to be leaving the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning to head for the airport. And I just turned around, and all of a sudden, man, I just turned. I don't know the way I turned my foot, whatever happened. Man, pain shot through that foot, and all I looked down, and it just swelled up just like that, man. And I'm like, oh, my, this is fun. This is exciting. So I made confessions and things about the Word, but I learned to listen on the inside. See, it's one thing you got to listen. See, sometimes God will lead you in a direction that it doesn't seem, you have another idea. But see, I've learned over time is listen to what God said. And I said to the Lord, I made the confession, you know, about it. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke up inside of me and said, go to the ER. And I thought, what? Go to the ER? This is going to, you know, I'm standing in faith over here, and God says, go to the ER. So I said, well, okay. Well, I'll tell you, my foot and stuff was ballooned up, and so... And it was my right foot, and so I wouldn't have been able to drive. And I said, so I called Wanda. Wanda was at work. I told her what happened. She came home, took me into the ER. And they took me in the ER, and they did test up. They said, well, they couldn't do nothing about it. I thought, what on earth is God sending me to the ER? They can't do nothing about it. See, listen to it on the inside. Don't make no sense. Stuff don't make any sense. But you got to follow what's on the inside. You can't follow sense because you ain't got none. Get over yourself. See, I gave that up a long time ago. I'm not a genius. Ask Wanda. She'll tell you. Probably tell you a bunch of other stuff, too. But it isn't. But I've learned to listen on the inside. God said, well, go there. I thought, well, it don't make a bit of sense, but I'm going to go. But anyhow, so what they did is they gave me this boot thing, and it had, you put it on over it, and then it has things you put in the freezer and freeze. That you slide down the side of is to keep ice on the thing about the swelling on. So that's what they get. That's what the boot thing was for. And they gave me that. So I got back home. You see, you walk into things that don't make sense. Now, here's one of the things that's following. See, there's certain things. I have trained myself over the years in certain things that God taught me concerning divine healing. If you want to get something miraculous, there's certain things you got to do. You can't do the norm and have the miraculous. That ain't happening. God may do it for somebody who don't know any better, but you ain't going to continually be able to walk in it. You can't do the norm. Well, it's just like a thing with my foot. You know, I come home and Wanda asked me. She said, "Well, you still going to go on the mission trip?" Now, see, I got this swelled up foot, you know. They told me, and I told them I'm going on a mission trip. I said, I'm going on a mission trip tomorrow. See, I told them in there when they're telling me all this stuff about my foot, how I got to keep it propped up and all this stuff and, you know, how I'm supposed to baby myself and whatever, you know. See, a lot of people love that stuff. They hear it. Oh, I don't have to go to work now. Oh, yeah. That's why a lot of Christians can't get healed. That's why a lot of Christians don't. They can't wait to get off work sick. They like doing that stuff. This is good preaching. Well, Wanda said, are you going down to Mexico? And I said, yeah, I'm still going. Because I said, the Lord didn't say, Ed, now you're exempt from my will to go to Mexico because this happened. So I said, I trained myself. I heard God tell me, God spoke to me about going down there and ministering. Well, he didn't step, well, Ed, you're not going now. You see, now is the time for a miracle. See, I need a miracle. And you know what? I ain't going to get a miracle acting like an invalid. Now, I didn't get to this place overnight. You train yourself over time to be a soldier, and when the fighting comes, how to stay in the battle. Most people run from the battle immediately. Gets bad. I'm looking for a safe spot. Do you know, we never have anybody ever won the Congressional Medal of Honor looking for the safe spot. And you won't ever get one either. As a Christian, it'll never happen running for the safe spot. When the pressure's on, you got to put pressure back. Now, I know this is just a lot of fun to hear. See, we just keep making your confession. No, you better have the right actions. You better have the right actions. So I said to Wanda, I said, no. I said, God didn't say I wasn't supposed to go. So I said, I'm planning on going. I'm going on a mission trip. And my foot's down there saying, you ain't going nowhere. But I said, I'm going. So, and you've heard me tell this. So Wanda said to me, well, you, because I hadn't packed up to that time. I usually just wait right before I go to pack to put stuff together and put in. And I had been down there to minister a number of times. I knew what I wanted to do is take along and what to do. And so I said, no. I said, I can't let you do my packing for me. I said, I got to pack. I'm going down there. See, it's nice and easy to say. We like it. Well, it wasn't easy to do. That means I got to get up on this foot. But see, I believe I received my healing. I made that confession. I believe I got something. Well, you can't act like you don't got something. Or you're just going to keep whatever you got. I said, I believe. And I said, no, hon. I said, I can't let you do the packing for me. I said, I got to pack my bag. See, I'm just acting out. I believe I received my healing. I don't feel at all like I received my healing, but I'm going to act like. See, this is a way to train. See, God taught me this. When I was only born again a couple months when the Lord taught me this. When I went and used my faith confession, and He told me that if all I had was a faith confession, I was going to stay sick all day. He said, if you believe 1 Peter 24 like I told him I did, he said, well, then get out of bed and act like it. See, that's what that mean God said to me. See, that mean God wanted to do a miracle for me. He taught me how you get miracles, how you get stuff and make things happen. See, I know this sounds, but look, if we don't teach on this level, this is why Christians don't walk on that level. They walk down on this level, but they want that level. You can't. You got to walk, not just to talk. You can talk top shelf, but you'll always drink bottom shelf. What you got to do is you got to have the actions of the top shelf. I believe I got something, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act like I have it. So, I got up and moved around and, oh, it hurt. And I packed my stuff, and my flesh was glad to sit down. It was happy for a seat. But you know, I didn't check. Praise God, I'm healed. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do. Next morning, I get up, and my foot sure wasn't any better. And I thought, I ain't wearing the boot. I can't wear that boot thing and go, and I can't do that. So, the Lord said to me when I was packing to put the boot thing in my suitcase. I thought, what if I go, where? What on earth am I taking? See, it all seems stupid to me. See, this don't make no sense. See, God don't think like you do. Thank God. I'm glad He don't think like me. See, this is what you're going to do from the flesh side. You're going to always look for good sense reasoning. This is why people can't hear God. Because many times what God said don't always make sense. You have to train yourself to the sense of God. Inside I get a sense and it's like, well, I'm going to follow that. Outside says, you're an idiot. What are you doing? In my suitcase, I got this boot with those ice pack things that aren't frozen. And I'm thinking, do you plan on me needing this down here or something? I don't know. See, it don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to do it. Now, I'm talking to you about the soul. See, the soul got to be trained that it follows what God's saying, what's on the inside. See, many times people know what to do, but that's not what they do. They follow the sense realm. Following the sense realm. They say, I'm believing God. Believing God's believing what's going on in your heart. See, if you can make as many confessions, but if you're hardening into it, and you're just out here doing that. Well, so I got up and I wrapped, took one of those ace bandages and I wrapped my foot. And I stuffed it in a running shoe. Because the running shoe is nice, flexible, and I could leave the strings open real wide. And I put that thing on, and boy, was that exciting. Boy, because I had to put that ace bandage on it tight because you don't want it to keep swelling. Get up and move. I know I'm get up and move around. Naturally, it'll want to swell. That's naturally. You stand up, move around. The blood wants to flow down to there and just push it bigger. It's like, wow, this is really exciting. And so I go to the airport and I get there, seeing everything going. And I go up to security. Take your shoes off. And I say, I show them I got this thing wrapped. But take your shoe off. See, they ain't got no mercy. Take your shoes off. And I think, oh my God, take your shoe off. I got to put the shoe. Because I knew how much fun it was putting the shoe on to begin with. It was exciting. But you know what? See, I can't be moved. I can't be moved by my feelings, by what I feel about in my foot, whether it's hurt. I can't be moved of that. If I believe I received something, I got to act like I got something. See, people don't act like they have something. Keep acting like they don't have anything. They're waiting for it to come. They're waiting for a good feeling to come before they're going to act. Waiting for a good feeling to come. Well, I'm glad I didn't wait for a good feeling to come. And I got over the other side and I'm sitting there and I hear another crazy thing inside saying, take off the ace bandage. And I'm thinking, reasoning says this, your foot swelled, you've been up walking around on it, you take that ace bandage off naturally, it's going to swell. It's going to go, pfft. Then you ain't getting it back in that shoe. You're not going to do that. You're going to wrap it up and walk on an ace bandage. And the natural mind. See, you have this going on. The body is talking from its senses. The body doesn't like feeling bad, so it's always going to do the thing to try to protect itself because it doesn't like any discomfort. It's discomforting to get up on Sunday morning and come to church. That's discomforting. The flesh. Let's watch a TV preacher. Oh yeah. It's not people don't get nor the body of Christ don't grow. Because they don't do anything from a spiritual standpoint. People are doing everything for whatever's a comfort to my flesh. Whatever comforts my flesh, that's what I'm going to do. Well, see, I keep getting things said to me that sounds like it's trying to hurt me. Because compared to my senses. My senses are saying, protect your foot. And this voice is saying, I'll take off that ace bandage. So three times it came up in me to take off the ace bandage. And, I finally thought, well, I might as well go along with it. You know, because I'm sitting there and my foot's hurting wrapped in that bandage. And you get that pulsating. Oh, it's exciting. It's so much fun. And I'm sitting over and say, I don't want to cry here in front of everybody. You know, and if I take this thing off, I might. It's like, oh, this thing's pulsating. So I turn around and take the ace bandage and start unwrapping and unwrap the thing. And as soon as I got it unwrapped, bang, the swelling went right down instantaneously. All the pain stopped instantaneously. And I was sitting there and said, God, why'd you have me bring that boot along? He said, as a testimony of what happened to you. You see, you got to be led by the Spirit. Folks, it is not, being led by the Spirit, I can imagine the Apostle Paul, you know. Paul's following God and he got to get on a boat and he said, I perceive this is going to be a bad trip. I perceive there's going to be a loss of ship and the lading, all the stuff they're carrying. This ain't going to be a good trip. We're getting on. Oh, wouldn't you like to have that come up in here? And we're getting on board. Hallelujah. Because God's trying to get me to Rome to test. God had told him before that he was going to take him up to Rome. He told him not to be afraid when he got hauled off in this thing. He said, I'm going to have you testify in Rome. And you think, he's trying to kill me to get me there. It wasn't God. God's whole thing, God did miracle after miracle after miracle. That's why he followed what was unreasonable to the senses. This is not being crazy. This is listening to your inner man testimony. You see, you get over people, get over into this kind of thing. They think, well, if I, like, not taking medicine's faith, that ain't faith. See, if I didn't take medicine, it's because I don't believe I need it. It isn't because if I don't take medicine, I'm not in faith. See, you have to learn the difference between this nonsense that people do. Well, you know, I want to, you know, it's like one guy, I had to do his funeral, you know, he didn't like going to the doctor, so he's going to use faith and believe God because he don't like to go to the doctor. Well, I thought, that ain't faith. He just don't like doctors. Well, that's not faith. See, if I didn't go to the doctor, it's because I believed I was healed. Not because I'm afraid of the doctor. Fear is never good. And fear killed him. He thought he was in faith. I tried to convince him to go to a doctor. He wouldn't. Because I knew it wasn't good what was going on. And he was no place of faith. See, religion will make you crazy. And that's what religion is full of, that kind of stuff. You get over in those kind of things. You got to learn to listen to your heart. God told me to do something. It's like when I had a blood clot in my lung. And you know, I knew when I got to the point I couldn't control the pain anymore. For a time I could, but I couldn't control it. And I knew, it's like, wow. And I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He said, you know what to do. Well, see, inside my spirit was telling me, go in the ER. That's what my spirit was saying. See, I didn't decide, but you know, I'm over here trying to fight this battle. And God said, go in the ER. See, sometimes God's trying to get you to a place. Sometimes He got to get you to a place where you'll listen. See, it doesn't make sense to me. We said, you know what to do? So I went in the ER. I got in the ER, and the pain was worse and worse and worse all the time. The only time it would stop if I quit breathing. That's really all it was. As long as I didn't breathe, use my lungs, the pain stopped. As soon as I started to breathe, oh my God, like somebody sticking a knife in your chest. It just, oh, pain. And you just, every time you take a breath, it would be, my God, it was horrible. Oh boy, what you do, having fun. Anyhow, but after I got there, once I got inside within a half an hour, I got things under control. It's number one, I got myself, I needed to hear, you know, you need to hear something from God. Sometimes, you know, in time of battle, you need to hear something. You have to learn how to fight to hear. See, everybody usually gets busy and all kind of stuff and don't hear. I've learned this over the years in emergencies, training yourself. See, in the military, when emergency and things come up, you can't get people running around acting stupid. What will you do? You know, that's a guy you take out back and shoot him. Because he's going to kill everybody. We need to get in our minds. When time, you need a clear head when a battle's on. We knew spiritual battles can be just as devastating and hard to deal with as physical things. In our nation, the church has done terrible in the battle. People have not been prepared for the battle to come. Satan's come along and rose up in this nation, and the church, the average church, can do nothing about it. Can't do a thing but complain. Complain about what's going on. That's all people seem to do. I'm sorry, there's a war. We need soldiers. And I got a good commander-in-chief. I can never complain about my commander-in-chief. No political party is my commander-in-chief. And nobody in any of them is my commander-in-chief. And I found this out. You know, out of the best of them, I know more about God than all the rest of them put together. And I don't know much. But I know in battle, you have to be able to stand. You got to keep a clear mind. You can't let your mind get, because your mind's going to want to go. Your mind's going to want to ride in the way that the things you see happening and going on, it wants to ride in that way. It wants to go. And we need to begin to set ourselves, you know, we sit around and we look over the things that are happening with Russia and their war with going on there in Ukraine, and things are going on in this fight. And you got a giant fighting a midget, and the giant can't take him. And you know why? There's only one reason. Those people over there, they're going to fight this war. They don't care. They're going to stand against it. They're sitting around. You just give us the weapons, we'll fight them. I'll just be honest with you right now. United States would not do as well against Russia. Because we've lost the will. See, don't matter all the, those guys know what to do with the weapons. They know what to do. They're going after things. It's amazing what they've done. See, it isn't because they're all Christian. It's just they have the will set to something. And that's what you've got to learn to do, is set your will to something. When things get tough, your will isn't set to whine. Your will's not to set to be the complainer. Your will's set to something greater. Say the war comes, we're fighting. See, it's to me, to stand in faith with God, I'd rather die trying to stand in faith than live in unbelief. Amen. See, over the years, you know, I've been told that I was crazy in certain things I did by faith. Well, my God, you could die doing what you did. Yeah, but I lived, didn't I? Hallelujah. And you ain't got no testimony, and I do. You don't know if God's real or not. He's nothing but words on a page. But I know He's real. In my worst times, He's shown up. When I was on the bottom, I had nothing in myself to change it other than I believed Him. That's all I had going for me. And He comes. He comes. When I had my heart attack, He came. Because all I did is believe. I told the devil to shut up. The devil kept saying, you're going to die. They're going to find you dead. That's what's going to happen. They're going to find you dead. And I said, devil, you have nothing in this thing. It's between me and my God. That's what this thing's about, me and my God. It ain't about you. And my body's saying, what are you talking about? My flesh is going, you got to do something. Get me help. Get me help. I say, you got help, you stupid thing. My faith is that I took the pill of faith. Have you taken the pill of faith? If you believe something and act like the pill's working, that's what you got to do. That's what the Lord taught me. I got to act like the word's true. I'd asked the Lord when I first got born again, only a couple of months, and I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach on faith, and he kept saying about acting on faith. And I said, Lord, what does he mean, act on faith? What do I do is act. See, people say, well, your confession. But I thought, I knew it. There was more than just saying something. You know? I mean, according to the church world today, a man can say he's a woman. So the church would say, he's a woman. He said so. He's confessing. He's confessing. If it don't turn him into one, it ain't working. It ain't faith. You can confess and confess. Confession is wonderful. But confession and action is a dynamite that blows things up. I believe the action is what makes the explosion. I've learned it over the years. That's when the Lord taught me when I was going through this thing and I prayed. And I said, Lord, what does Kenneth Hagin mean? And I talked to him. How do I do actions to things? I wanted to know specifically. And it wasn't long. I woke up one morning just sick. I mean, I just downright sick. You know, it's one of those things you just wanted to puke, sick and couldn't puke. Man, sometimes you think, I wish I could puke. I'd feel better. And just feeling bad. Oh, stomach cramps were terrible. And just wake up like, now this wasn't God. God didn't do this to me. But God took an incident that happened to me, and because of response, He showed me and used this to teach me what to do. When I was laying there in the bed, and the thought came, well, I'm confessing, I confessed 1 Peter 2:24. And then I heard down in here, I heard, wasn't some loud roaring voice, I heard down here on the inside, if you lay, you just call off sick and lay in bed, you're going to be sick all day. And I knew this. That wasn't the devil talking. I knew it. I knew where that came from. And I knew it wasn't. And I thought, was God touchy or what? What is this, you know? Because, see, I'm dealing over in an area. I think I'm doing good because, see, I've heard this faith confession stuff. You know, you do this faith confession. And then I hear that. And it's like, I'm sorry, that don't go along with the teaching. We're going to have to go back to that tape again. I listened to it. That's when the Lord asked me, He said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? That's when Then, see, the first time I heard it, it was really quiet. The next voice, it said, it really is a voice the Holy Spirit spoke and said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? So I quoted it. Laying there in bed, I quoted it. And I said, yes, Lord. I said, I believe it. And then these wonderful words came out. Then get up and act like it. I don't know. I'll tell you what, I was feeling bad. And I wasn't a person who was sick all the time. And I don't like sick. I don't know about some people, they don't mind getting sick. They don't mind feeling bad. And you know, I can get off and I can do something. Me, I'm going to tell you what, if my little toe hurts, I don't like it. I just don't like sickness. I don't like pain and I don't like that stuff. I've had some of it in my lifetime. I had one time when I was a sinner, I had a virus set into my, that normally, like you'd get a virus, even a cold virus or something like that, settled into my spinal column and swelled my spinal column up. You talk about painful. I had a headache. I thought if they'd kill me, it would just be a wonderful thing. It was so painful. Oh my God. Just feel like your head's going to blow up. The doctor can give you things, but they don't really do much of anything for it. Don't do anything. You're just pain and pain and pain and pain. That was exciting too. I just don't like pain. I don't want to go to that place. I want to know how to stop things. Pain is a very debilitating thing. And you have to know as a Christian, if you can't bring pain under control, see, I've just had to deal with a person about pain. I tell them, you got to do something. Because I know they're talking about staying in faith and the pain's wearing them out. Take something for it, you idiot. You ain't going to stay in faith. Because see, pain can get so loud you can't hear nothing else. Pain gets so, it's just like when I had with my lung, I realized what I was going through. I needed help for pain. Why? So I could hear my inner man. You got to know when you need something. See, people just, there's some people just like that. Well, I don't like to take medicine. Well, be stupid. It isn't a matter of you like to. I want to do whatever I can do to walk spiritually the best. And if I need help, and I'm not taking a hold of something, I want to do whatever it is so I can hear what God's saying and follow what God's saying and get what my faith wants. No, I'd rather go it my way, stay miserable and sick and make everybody else miserable with me. I'll torment everybody. As long as I'm in pain, I'll torment other people. But as anyhow, learn to walk in that. So you gotta turn around and take pain and learn to bring that pain under. And see, what God was trying to do me, see, you're dealing with something. The devil's coming against you. It's causing a problem. I've learned to look at it. It's a war. This is a war I'm in. The devil took his shot. Now I gotta take a shot back. I gotta take my shot back. I gotta shoot back at him like I got something. I realized that day, that when I obeyed what was in my spirit and got out of that bed, that made the devil downright mad. He knew that the fight was, he's going to lose this thing. He knew it. When I got out there and acted and I got out of bed, and, I still felt bad, but I brushed my teeth and I shaved and stuff, got ready for work, and I'm still feeling lousy. Had stomach cramps, but I went out and got in the car. I'm going to obey the inner man. See, my flesh wasn't in agreement at all with my mind. My mind was renewed by the Word of God, and I was going to follow the way my mind was renewed to. I'm going to listen to what God says to do. See, you have to learn to listen, to hear God. You can't call the preacher and say, what am I supposed to do? Well, what's in your spirit to do? You got to hear God for yourself. Don't call me. I ain't going to tell you what to do. I don't know what's in your heart. Unless God would tell me, most of the time He won't. You got to walk what's in your heart. It's like over the years, I have people come and say, is it all right to do such and such and so? And I tell them, say, the only reason you're asking me that because you ain't clear to be able to do that. So it isn't about whether or not, whether I think about right or wrong or who knows. Your heart's not clear. Something that might not be, sometimes God's going to deal with you about certain things He don't want you to do. Might be fine for somebody else to do, but He's telling you not to. You need to learn to obey that. I'm going to tell you, you're never going to see miracles if you don't. You won't see them. Everybody else doing. I'm not. Now, I know this over time. It don't make people happy. It doesn't make people happy. But I'm going to tell you what. I can sit here and tell you story after story of miracle that happened to me, not to somebody else. That I know God does miracles. The Lord spoke to me about 5 years ago and said, talked about my carrying out this thing of learning to acting in faith when you're in the middle of a battle and doing stuff. He told me, he said, you know, basically, he said, what you do, it seems extreme. It seems extreme to people. But he said, it's very much like the working of miracles. See, there's a gift called working of miracles. Now, he was explaining to me why because I asked him the question, why do I have so many miracles place? I see other people standing in faith. I don't see people getting the miracles. You know, they'll get help and over time. But I said, I've seen numbers and numbers of instantaneous stuff that happened. Now, it didn't happen in 10 minutes. I stood, and then you get the miracle. It's like the Red Sea. They stayed there overnight till they got their miracle. You might have to go nights or sometimes a couple nights or something else. You may have to. But I want what shows up that I know for myself that the devil will never talk me into the fact that God, oh, well, you know, that there, it just happened and you were, you know, fortunate and you got through. Say, no, I know it was a miracle. Because, you know, a doctor couldn't have brought that. A doctor couldn't have done it. I mean, when I went into the hospital, once I got a hold of, when I got the Lord spoke to me within 20 minutes, I was just fine. Within 20 minutes, when I got a hold of, my faith grabbed a hold of, knew what to do, got a hold of it. I was just fine. And from then on, the doctors were saying, are you sure you're all right? Are you sure you're okay? You're not having any pain? Are you sure? They said, we want to keep you in observation for a day. And all that time, they kept coming in the room. Are you sure you're okay? Are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing great. I'm really good. Are you sure you're okay? See, I wasn't acting like somebody who had a blood clot in their lung. They weren't used to that. See, this is something outside the natural senses. See, that's what a miracle was. See, you do things, you want a miracle. You want, see, like me, I stop and say, God did that. Ed couldn't have done that. Faith in the Word of God, the implanted Word. It happened first. The first miracle was the implanted Word that saved my soul. Without a saved soul, that would have never happened. You will not have miracles and not have a saved soul. And not have a saved soul. Now, this is good preaching, folks. See, we focus most time talking about your spirit and talking about the body. But I'm going to tell you, your soul is the key to the miraculous. Because your soul. You know, I know I watched Wanda grow in that over the years and that stuff and learning how to do things. And I'll tell you, like Wanda, when she would have something medically done, she'll make a confession. This is what's going to, she, you know, take place. This is going to happen. She gets it. She gets exactly. She, I ain't going to have any pain. I'm not going to, and she don't. She has learned. But, you know, she has learned. She ain't going to go, I'm going to lay around. The doctor says, well, you'll be off 8 weeks for this. Well, she'd never put up with that. She never, by God, had to have an operation on her toe. And what? How many weeks did he say you couldn't wear a shoe? Like 6 weeks or 8 weeks?
Six.
And what, you had it in two or something? She's wearing her shoes around. See, I said, I thought when the doctor said that, I said, you don't know my wife. She ain't going to believe for no 6 weeks so she can get off of work and sit around. Oh, I can get off work and pray. This is God blessing me. I get off work. Oh, I've listened to thousands of Christians say that junk to me. They wonder why you ain't having miracles. You know, she's a woman. She's ready to go back to work. She would rather be well.
Amen. That's right.
And wear shoes. But see, she, when she, I mean, her operation with her heart was absolutely miraculous. Her recovery was absolutely miraculous. And it wasn't from her saying so. It was the doctors and a guy shows up, physical therapist, and walked in and looked at her and said, well, you don't need a physical therapist. There ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, but they require me. I have to come. So he said, I'll come again to see you again. But he said, you don't need to. But you know what? She didn't just go lay down and not do nothing. Everybody's afraid if they act on the Word. This is the thing. Your flesh will want to recoil. from acting on the Word of God. Your flesh will. But you must train your soul. You got to train your soul to. This is the biggie, is not to be afraid. Your flesh will always try to move toward fear. Wow, you do this, what's going to happen to me? What's going to, the soul, the flesh always wants to protect itself. It's always wanting to protect itself. Now that doesn't mean that, hey, your flesh, there's things you do want. You don't want to, you know, your flesh is, I don't want to put my hand on that hot burner. You better heard from heaven if you go put your hand on it. But your flesh doesn't think like your spirit does. You have to learn to listen, to follow that, follow what the spirit says. Because your flesh is going to be thinking in an opposite way about things. And you have to learn. See, this is good teaching, folks. This is very good teaching. I had all my notes here today, and I was going to do it. Honestly, I was going to do the notes. But I knew this. I knew the Holy Spirit wanted to say some things today. And I was talking to him this morning about it, and while we were worshiping, and I was talking to him about that, because I knew there's things. Because he spoke to me last week about the fact of there's not been enough emphasis about the soul and dealing with your own soul. Dealing with your mind, will, and emotions. See, I believe most Christians want to set their will to God. They do. I mean, you get somebody flaky out here and they want to believe that I can do whatever I want and get away with it and that stuff. But want to do the will of God. Christians want to do that. That's our nature. It's my nature to want to do right. Just I don't always do right. Have you ever had that trouble? But you know, most of it, now think about this, you can hear from God, because most of you, I mean, sit down, be honest with yourself. How many times you do things and you know your conscience ain't going along with you? Your conscience is not in. But you know what? That's a good sign. That means your heart is right with God. Your heart's saying, hey, 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 hey. See, people look at that, oh, I don't want that discomfort of my conscience bothering me. You better want it. That's your safeguard. That's the voice of your own spirit saying, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. See, you want to listen to those things. See, you can hear from God. See, you need to understand, I can hear my spirit. Because my conscience is the voice of my spirit. I can hear it. I go do something wrong, and I'm like, oh, you need to repent, Ed. You shouldn't have done that. Or you should have done it differently. You know, you get the, that's a good sign. See, you can hear your spirit. You can. We're looking at some big woo thing, you know. We want thunder and lightning out of heaven, and you know, we want to get hit in the head with a bolt, and then we all of a sudden, I know what to do, and I have this great anointing. I want to tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I have never had a miracle happen to me that there was any size of power like something would happen. It was always doing, and it seemed like it ain't working. But just doing the right thing and doing the right thing. And all of a sudden, zappo, something miraculous takes place. But it always seems, you know, like this morning. I'll tell you what, we were down there worshiping and I felt like I had no anointing on me at all. I felt like it stayed at home somewhere. It's like, ugh. You don't, but you know what you do. It doesn't matter. It does that. You get up and you come and you just, okay, I'm going to do this. God called me this. I'm going to do the will of God. Don't matter how I feel about it. Hallelujah. God has a plan and I got to let, he can't plan get carried out if I follow how I feel in my flesh and I don't feel like I have the anointing and I don't feel, it ain't going to get carried out. It gets carried out when I go against the senses, when my spirit knows what to do and my soul can understand what my spirit wants to do, and I got to go ahead and do it. See, that's when you step into the area of the spirit. When you're into that area, there's no telling what could take place. The spirit realm is the supernatural realm. When I was unsaved and I was involved in sorcery and stuff like that, I got onto the thing to start to understand. You had to act like spirits are real. If you want to manifest, you got to act like they're real. You don't wait till you see one and then you know, everybody, I want to see the video of the ghost. So then you're going to believe in ghosts because you saw it. So you're only going to believe what you see. I'm going to tell you what. I knew there was ghosts. I knew there were spirits and I hadn't seen none of them. But because of my believing, they would come into manifestation. They didn't come into manifestation because of my sin. They came into manifestation. Because you see, we had people who practiced what I was practicing, but they were the people that, they were more see and believe in stuff. They couldn't get stuff to manifest. Why? Because they weren't real believers. They weren't believing. They'd only believe what they see. They trained themselves to only believe what they see. See, I, from the time I was getting, I always knew the spirit realm was true. I often thought, if all we got is the physical realm and this is the big thing, what a waste of life. You know, let Russia nuke us and wipe this whole thing out. What do we want to stay here for? Why would we want to stay here if it's only physical life? This worthless. If all I got's the physical, it's worthless. Is this all we have? Is this what we're fighting for? See, you get over there. No, it's the spirit realm. The spirit realm is the real place. It's the eternal place. And it's the place of real power. Nuclear weapons aren't real power. They're not eternal. God's power is eternal. And you want to touch, because that realm can change anything in this realm that we will allow it to. And we have to understand that. I would have never had any of the miracles that I had unless I allowed God to do them. I'd allow Him to do it. And the Bible tells us what we do to allow God to do things. We have faith is what we do. We act like what we can't see is true. What I can't see. And act like the things that I do see that are contrary to what I believe, where I say, no, I ain't going along with that. Yeah, but it looks like that's what's working. It looks like your mind's gonna sit there. You're gonna have over here on this side those senses saying things and say, nah. You have to train yourself. Amen. People do these things. You know, I want you to think about that. Next week I'll probably go over and there's an area of scripture I want us to look at next week. The Holy Spirit willing to do that. He's put it on my heart. But we need to as believers come to the place of living in this place of reality of, well, is what is real? Is the eternal really real to us? Is it real? Is the eternal realm? Is the spirit realm really real to us? We have to decide that. See, that's why people have a hard time praying in tongues, because they only pray to what makes sense to the senses. Well, as soon as you don't let your mind know what you're doing, you've trained yourself. If my mind isn't in agreement with me, I ain't gonna do it. The mind's gonna determine. See, we get over there. I filled myself with the fact that when I pray in tongues, I'm not speaking to men and unto God. That's right. I don't know anything else about it other than that. That's it. That's the training. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm not speaking unto men. I'm speaking unto God. People say, well, I pray, I don't know what to pray. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, knucklehead, read the Bible. And it tells you, praying in tongues, you're just talking to God. When are you going to believe it? It comes down to, when are you going to believe that? See, I don't know what to say, but the Holy Ghost would like to say a few things through me. See, we want to be led by the Spirit without letting the Spirit talk, without letting the Spirit move. And say, I want a miracle. Well, it'd be a miracle if He could do anything with you. That'd be the miracle. See, we got to get over this thing. It's praying in tongues. It says it builds you up on your most holy faith. And Christians struggle with faith all the time. They have a way to do it. But see, people have trained. I only do things that make sense to me. That's what I do. And that becomes a battle. That you got to turn around and start being a soldier and quit being a civilian. That's the problem. We have mostly civilians in Christianity. The civilian population is trying to live their life on. See, we've done this in our country. We send our guys off to war and we live back here. We sacrifice nothing. See, we're for you. we're cheering for you. Ah, when I remember, I think the 4th of July we do and, We send people off to war to see we don't do that. The war don't affect. You see, one of the things in the Second World War had an effect on our nation, on everybody. It had an effect on everyone. People were moved by our soldiers' discomfort instead of their own. See, we know very little in the church world about what God wants to do, because in the church world as a whole, we're still fighting about our own comfort rather than looking at the discomfort of others on their way to hell. Don't mean much to us. We say, well, they're just rotten anyhow. They're ugly. They're just a nasty bunch. They ought to get down there and shoot all those guys down in Washington. Oh, I know. Your pure thoughts never thought such a thing. And your mouth never made a statement that you thought anything like that ought to be done. Because they discomfort me. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus didn't call us to die for him, but he did call us to live for him. It'd be good if we did. It'd be good if we did. Now, I know this seems like really strong stuff staying, but you know, we're in the days of strong stuff need to be said. Amen. If we want the miraculous, I mean, we can pray night and day, but miracles work through people. And I'm just going to tell you this, something is going to happen. There's a miraculous group going to rise up that aren't even in the church world today. And many of the church world are going to sit on the sidelines. It's happened in every revival. It's happened in every revival. The people that want to change never stand in faith to change, and God can't move through them, but God will always raise up a generation. He'll raise up a generation of young people that'll rise up, people of faith, follow God and walk with God. And they'll do the will of God. They won't care what anybody else thinks. There's one thing about them. We ain't gonna, most of our young people, they ain't got no religious training at all. See, religion ain't gonna hold them back. That's right. They don't know nothing about it. They haven't been trained. They haven't been trained in anything. Too many today in the church world are too religious, even among the spirit filled, too religious to move with God. Too religious to move with the supernatural. Too religious. We just, well, be nice, be good, and do this, you know, do something. We don't know about walking out there on those areas. I've learned that miracles come when you walk out there on the edge of things that are natural, that seem like it just, it's all falling out from under me. But I have the Word of God to stand, and that's all I got. I only have the Word to stand on. I don't have anything else. I don't have anything else but the Word of God. I've always desired, from the time that I was a kid, I've always desired miracles. To me, when I read the Bible and read about miracles, I thought that's the way God was till I got in church world, and then it wasn't the norm, you know. They're just nice stories to read, and we tell other people about that God that did all those wonderful things. And I'm not interested in the God in the past. I'm more interested in the God now. Because if he's just in the past, I don't need him. I ain't wasting my time studying the past. We have a future that needs saved. We have a future that needs saved. If God's not going to move, then let's leave. Let's quit. What's the point? If God's not going to move, like people say, well, you know, God can't do anything in a nation. Well, that voice is why he can't. Things are just so bad. Things are just, yeah, they are bad. Things are bad. People are going crazy. It ain't the first time in history. You study American history, and I'm going to tell you what, we've had periods of such paganism in America. You go back over and look from the Civil War periods and different things, the paganism in America, the hatred and murder and killing, and go back before the Revolutionary War, in our colonies, my God, things were such a mess you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it got to the point where there's so many drunkards and stuff that women in the daytime couldn't even go out into the streets in the daytime. It was so bad. See, people today say, well, look how bad it is. And you know what God did? You know what God did in that mess? See, everybody thought, it's all going under. God sent some guys like Jonathan Edwards and some of them, and they preached. And revival broke out in the colonies. You can go all through history. See, if people don't, they sit down and think, people say, oh, it's so bad today, it's so bad. All you know is today. What would you know about it? Unless you studied it. To sit around and say, well, this is worse than, oh, this is the worst it's ever been. What would you know about that? Where have you ever been? Well, it is. You sit down and say, to me, I look back in history and I say, if God rose up then, He'll rise up now.
Hallelujah.
He'll rise up again. You know what? I don't think it's God bad. When God rises up, people are going to know it's God. Sometimes God will let it go till it stinks so bad. So when He rises up, there's no question who's doing. Amen. That it wasn't the church being so glorious. It's their God is so glorious. Amen. Their God moved. Hallelujah. It's my God that's great. Hallelujah. He's the one that deserves to be worshipped and praised and glorified. It's Him. Of any miracle that's happened to me, it's because He worked in me. He did it. His wisdom, His power, His wisdom on what to do to set things in order so He could set His glory free. I couldn't have had faith without Him. I would have not known how to believe. If it wasn't Him teaching me in a bed laying there sick and telling me what I have to do and set a principle on me that I used time and time again and saw instantaneous healings. Well, it can't come from my wisdom. That stuff didn't come. I could quote scriptures. But the one on the inside taught me how to use them. He taught me how to load the gun and point it and pull the trigger. He taught me those things. He put that in me, hallelujah, that I could blow things up, hallelujah. And He'll do the same for you.
Amen.
The devil's still the same devil that he was 100 years ago, 50 years ago. He ain't got no bigger, no better. That moron and idiot turned around. And you look, the Bible tells us, you know, before the Jesus Christ was sent before the foundation of the world, before it was ever created, before Satan ever got into his nonsense, God had already planned on his destruction and demise. And that moron thought he was going to take over God. And the whole time, he didn't know his future was ended. And he thought he could take over God? Well, I ain't going to be as dumb as he is. I can't take over God. But I know this. My God's miraculous and if I'll yield to Him.
Hallelujah.
If I know how to yield to Him, if I follow the scriptures on how to yield to Him, He'll be miraculous to me.
Amen.
He'll shine through. Hallelujah. He'll do for me what no man can do. I thank God. You know, I'm not against anything doctors can do. But I'll tell you what. I still love to see a miracle.
Hallelujah.
I still love to see the supernatural. I still love to, you know, I get Christopher Lom, he sends his thing, we support Juan and I support him, and the miracles at his meetings in Africa, the things that take place, and I think, those blessed people get to see God show up. A man stands there and preaches, he never lays hands on nobody. He just stands up and God starts healing, and God starts, tens of thousands will get filled with the Holy Ghost at one time. He goes into places, they're terrible, they're horrible, the sin is so bad. It isn't safe to be around murdering and carrying on. And he goes there and preaches the word of God. And those words planted in hearts of men supernaturally change everything. The word in the hearts of men. The word. This word's incredible.
Hallelujah.
The big thing you want to do is take the time to get the word in you. Let that implanted word get in you. It's the seed of the miracles of God. It's the seed of the life of God. And we want to bring the life of God into manifestation. We don't want to just sit around and tell nice stories about God. He's good. And, you know, you get to go to heaven. I want to see heaven show up here before I leave.
Amen.
See, I've gotten tastes of heaven on this side. And you know what it's done? I can see why Paul said, man, I'd like to go. But for your sake, I'm going to say, I want to let you know this. The only reason I'm here is because of you guys. Because it is up to me, I'd go. And I know how to do it too. I can lead by faith. You see, you got to come over the place. Faith is a phenomenal thing. We got to want to release the power of God and see it released. We need the miracles. the book back in, Exodus. God showed people all his miraculous deeds. A man went and sat down and didn't do nothing with it. Jesus comes along and he shows all the miraculous deeds and men want to go sit down again. Well, that was for back then. I got the same God back then. And you need to sell yourself. He'll be as miraculous to you. Make him miraculous to you. Talk about it, him. God desires. God's not holding back. People say, well, God's waiting on us. God is not waiting on anybody for nothing. He's waiting for the church to believe the word. He's waiting for the church to rise up and say, yeah, praise God. The Holy Spirit, just think, the Holy Spirit's in you. This still astounds me. I can't get over this thing of the Holy Spirit in me. Say, do you feel like he's in you? No, I don't. But the most, believing that he's in me and talking like he's in me, I'm just amazed the wisdom that he gives me will start showing me things. I'm astounded by it. I come along with something and I want to know what to do and all of a sudden the answer rises up in me and it still astounds me. It's like, my God. No feeling comes. Just knowing what to do comes. See, everybody wants a goosebump. No, I want the answer to whatever it is. I'm not interested in the goose. If a goosebump comes, good, that's fine. But we don't need a goosebump. What I need is the answer.
Amen.
What I need is the answer. He's in there. Don't wait for a feeling he's in there. I don't feel powerful. I don't either. You know? I pick up a battery. It don't like go, starts doing that. You better drop that thing and get away. See, a battery can be full of power. Do you touch it? Do you sense it in there? Say, well, it don't feel powerful. I ain't putting that in my flashlight. Throw it away. We always got to feel. We always have to have something from the natural side. We don't understand the faith side comes first. Then you might get some of the feeling stuff. But you get the faith side first. We want the feeling side to believe. We want the sight side. We want all of those things. That's not how it works. Train your soul that the word's true. Don't let your soul get, keep yourself over because the eye is going to say, hey, don't look right. Don't look good. You don't always have that. You're going to have that. There's nothing wrong and it comes and you have it. You know, you're sitting over there and things look bad. Don't be surprised if spirit comes and knocks on your door. The door of your brain says, well, you're foolish for doing that. What's going to happen to you? You know, you keep believing that stuff. Do you feel better? And then your body will say, I don't feel any better. I just... Your body, see, you'll have a duet there. Those two will start singing to you. And you'll get that song going to you. But I'm going to tell you what. If you yield over and you train your soul, your soul get a hold of your spirit. And I'll tell you what, it can do far beyond. See, living in you is the miracle. It's already in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. See, we look at it physical resurrection. It wasn't a physical resurrection. That same spirit was the same spirit that took a dead spirit and turned it into a living spirit. Dead in sin. Jesus Christ, dead in sin, was raised alive to God. The same spirit. Much more powerful than just raising from the dead. Raising from physical death isn't the big powerful thing. The greatest power of God that ever happened in my life was one night I accepted Jesus and became a new creation. It's the greatest miracle. The rest of it, people think healing's a big thing. It ain't nothing. Now I know this. The people I worked with, they knew something happened to me. When I got saved, I wasn't the same. A miracle took place and they knew it. I wasn't the same guy anymore. My wife recognized the fact, she said, I'm not living with the same man anymore. There's a miracle take place. When the church today has become into a place where people can't tell between Christian and sinner. It's because people aren't walking the life that it's already in you. Already in you. I want you to stand your feet. I want to do something today in ministry, for ministry. The Spirit of the Lord, in fact, bear witness to thee when I was out in Branson. And we need to understand this. We're under, because of our nation and the direction things have went, there's one thing we need to get this stuff clear. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, doctors of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. In my lifetime, now this isn't the lifetime of the nation, but in my lifetime, this is the greatest spiritual attack that our nation has ever been under. For my days, this is the worst spiritual attack. Sometimes physical things happen and people think are so bad, but our nation has been spiritually attacked. That we're living in a day. This is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. And one of the things that you happen, you as a Christian, you're born again, a child of God. Now I want you to get across, because the Lord wants me to minister to people, and I want you to get this. We're having a real problem in the areas because people are under oppression. Christians are under oppression. It's not because they've been bad. It's not because, you know, it's just a matter. We need to identify. You need to identify yourself. I've learned this over the years. It's because of walking over in my spirit and learning. See, a lot of people don't really learn well about themselves, what they're like, what they're really like, what I'm really like. See, I can tell when I'm going through and something's trying to oppress me. You know, I can tell if I'm getting up in the morning sad and gloomy and sort of, lackadaisical and stuff, that's not Ed Gibson. It's not like that. See, I've learned myself what I'm really like. And when I find these things happen, I know something's trying to press me. See, we're dealing with, I don't care if you're the best Christian. Think about this. Think Apostle Paul had all great days. Sit down and read. He got to the point he wanted to leave. He said, I want to get out of here. Why? Because everything's going so darn good? Well, was he into sin? But yet, oppression was coming against him. See, we get over this thing and think that because something comes against me that I'm doing something bad. You might be doing just exactly right, and the devil's trying to stop you. And he'll come and oppress you, try to keep you over in that area. See, satanic spirits want to dominate your body. That's their desire. They can't do that unless they can at first come along and start to dominate your mind, dominate the way you think. Then you leave things open. Now, you as a Christian, you can't be fully possessed because you're born again. The devil can't move into your spirit. He can't do that. The Holy Ghost and the devil ain't gonna live in the same spirit. But a Christian can get so oppressed that really, in a sense, their mind becomes possessed. They get possessed in a way. I've been around Christians. They get possessed in a way of thinking, and they get possessed. Now, if I want to get possessed in a way of thinking, I want to be God's possession by the Word of God. I want to be possessed by God's thinking. But people do, and they're Christians. If they died, they'd go to heaven. But their minds get so oppressed, and after a while, they just take a hold of a thinking and a way of thinking that just, it ain't right. But I want to say this because God wants me to minister to some people here this morning, you folks, and I know there's ones here that you've been under. It just seems like a lot of weight and stress on things have been on you, and you're doing what you think you know to do, and you're walking. And it isn't nothing wrong with you. It's the devil's. The devil is he's oppressing people. I mean, we think about for nationwide. I mean, the amount of suicide and stuff and things going on. You know what? And I'm just going to tell you, to be honest with you. Loads of Christians are dealing with the area. Thoughts of suicide come. They're just fighting a battle and they're just worn. And they get over it. It's not good. They're not bad people. They're good people. But oppression keeps coming and oppression keeps coming. And see, we have this thing, I feel sad about it because I had a real good minister friend whose wife was under oppression and dealing with the areas of sickness she had. And I tried to talk to him, but see, he thinks, well, if you're a good Christian, the devil can't get you. And I knew the devil had his wife, and his wife had done nothing bad. She's being oppressed in her body. She ended up dying because I talked about it. He said, no, we ain't got any kind of sin in our life or anything. Like, the devil can't. Like, you have to be a terrible sinner for a devil to attack you. I thought, did he ever read about Paul? Paul said there was a devil specifically set on him to try to keep him, was oppressing him. And he said, God, get this thing off of me. He'd done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. See, we need to identify ourselves that stuff happens. Things are happening. And sometimes oppression comes to us, and it ain't because we've done anything wrong. We need to identify. Why would the Bible say to us to resist the devil and he'll flee from us if nothing was going to happen? If you're all... No, sometimes you just got to get over there. I know with starting off in Christianity and dealing with Wanda. And you folks have heard me telling the story. You know, Wanda started going through this thing and she had gotten saved. I got saved first, but she was saved. And she started this thing and she was angry all the time. And I thought, I was thinking about it. You know, I would go home and talk to her and I'd say, "Hi, hon, how you doing?" And she'd say something. You know, it's like... It's going on. And I finally, you know, I stopped. At first, you want to get over and you want to get upset about this thing and mad at her over this thing. And I thought about it. I thought, that ain't like Wanda's not like that. Well, maybe a little bit. I don't know. No, I thought, well, Wanda's not like, she don't do that. She never done this kind of thing before. And I got over there. And when I finally got over, see, the whole time I wasn't listening to my spirit on the inside. I'm looking at what's going on the outside. I'm judging by what's happening in the outside. And I finally said to the Lord, see, lots of times you don't get answered because you never ask the right question. You never ask. See, I found this out a long time ago, and I said, "Lord, what's happening to Wanda?" And so he kindly said this to me: "The devil's been oppressing her, and you've done nothing about it." I thought, oh, my. Isn't that what you wanted to hear? See, maybe you won't want to listen to the Spirit. So, now what? I didn't run down there and come out of her in the name of Jesus. I didn't do that. Right there, I stood on the steps walking upstairs the second floor, and I stopped right there and I said, "You devil in the name of Jesus is oppressing my wife. You stop it right now and leave this place in the name of Jesus." And that's all I did. That's all I did. See, you got to do it by faith, you know. You can't whoop it, but I hope this thing works. I'll tell you what, I don't go down there and she's... But I tell you what, when I came back downstairs, there was another woman in my kitchen.
Praise the Lord.
See, you gotta see this, and you gotta learn this about yourself. Learn about things oppressing you and things get you over on the things. See, the devil, he sets situations up. Devil will attack other people to try to get at you. And if you'll fall for it, their oppression, you take it on. You have to learn not to do those things. Now I'm just going to ask this today. If you've been oppressed, I mean, you've been stuff been coming against you and things coming against you and you just been, I want to minister to you. Because don't live under the way. People are out here living under the way. See, we've learned how to become good actors as Christians and we're actors. You know, I don't want to admit anything's wrong with me. Well, don't worry. It'll show up. It will. Now I'm just telling you, if you're in that area, and you've been dealing with oppression on you and that stuff coming against you, ain't nothing worse than constantly living like there's a weight on you. There's nothing worse than that. Nothing worse than living like that, like there's a weight on you of things. You live in that place. I'm just asking. I want to minister to you today. Give opportunity to do that. Don't, because see, it isn't anything wrong. God is trying, you know, God wants to, no, it isn't somebody's bad and somebody's good. I'll just tell you this, I know this for a fact. I know ones that need help. And I didn't decide that. Spirit showed me. If people don't, I mean, God's given opportunity. See, here's one thing. You can live by your mind today. Say, they go up here, they'll think there's something wrong with me. Dear Lord, there's something wrong with every one of us. Get over yourself. Dear God. See, no, I'd rather stay bound by the devil than admit there's anything wrong with me. We don't go there. Hallelujah. God's in the setting free, people free business. Things are coming against people. And there's not, I mean, every one of us has things that we're dealing with stuff. Hallelujah. So, you know, I was really glad going, the Lord told me to go to these meetings. I'll tell you what, there's just a lot of things, these meetings I went to just freed me. I'll tell you, it was good because you had things. If in this day and age, if you can't sense the weight of stuff, the weight of things that are happening and things and that stuff, and don't you see, you get in the place, you start wondering about yourself. What is wrong with me? Why am I? See, it's easy to get into the natural side of it. Well, you know, I must be messed up. Well, none of us are perfect about things in that. But there's a lot going on today. And because there's a lot of spirits that are just oppressing people and things are going on. Things are happening. And God is in the freedom business. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We're not going to do anything really crazy weird. What we're going to do is, we're just going to do simply, take authority over Satan's actions in the name of Jesus. Command him to cease and desist. You, understand, you're the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're children of God here today. You're precious to him. Your life in this earth is precious to him.
Amen.
It is precious to him. Think that they, see, he's doing this. It's not to make anybody feel bad. It's about, you're, man, he wants us to have the best. He wants life working in us. Hallelujah. What affects us affects him. His love. You know his people's parents. It affects your children. It gets to you, don't it? You know, there's ain't anything worse than my Christian walk. When the devil messed with my kids or my wife, ain't nothing made me madder than that. You know, the devil can come throw what he wants at me. But you leave my wife and kids alone. Well, see, what do you think I love more than God does? We don't love more than God. God looks at us, hallelujah. He looks at you and he says, man, I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. Hallelujah. I don't like the enemy messing with my kids. Hallelujah. You've passed unto death, unto life. Hallelujah. You have the life of God. See, we're not ministering to you today because there's something wrong with you. There ain't nothing wrong with you. Other than the rest of us, we all continually renewing our minds, continually growing spiritually. That's the norm. And all of us go through that. And we're going through that. There's nothing wrong with that. Your desire and love for God, hallelujah, you have all that.
Amen.
See, it's not about being messed up. It's about somebody is messing with his kids. That's what this is about. He don't like somebody messing with his kids.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he's given us authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is the authority in that name which is above every name.
Amen.
The devil don't run because of Ed Gibson, but he runs at the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
When you and I believe in the authority of that name, oh, and then we use it, he goes running. He can't stand against, that name.
Amen.
Jesus left this earth. He gave it to us. See? It's not Ed's name. And it's not, I got a special thing with the name of Jesus. I don't. You have the same thing I do. Faith in the name. And in faith in the name, hallelujah, glory to God. And I want you to do something. We're going to minister to you. And I tell you what, this oppression, you stand against it yourself. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. See, devil, hold it. Something come. Hold it, devil. I ain't going back here to this place. No, you ain't taking me there. You ain't taking me to this oppression, any kinds of depression. And that's happening to a lot of people. He tries to do it. The devil's trying to bring me over, you know. You're not doing good enough. You're not doing enough at this and that. You're going through that whole thing. You can get on that roller coaster, but I'm going to tell you, I've been there. And it's a horrible place to ride. It ain't an amusement park. The only thing that amuses is the devil. It's a terrible place to be. Your mind gets over there into that place and gets carried off. And after a while, you know, you wonder if God loves you. You wonder if God, you know, he really cares about your situation that you're in. And that's what they see. That's where the senses will start to come in. And the devil will move through them. He'll move through your senses to try to get you to quit. Hallelujah. And don't, whatever you do, don't quit. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Father, this morning, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for these, your blessed children. They're yours, bought with a price. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Father God. Father, your love for them is incredible. Hallelujah. And you proved it because you sent your Son to die on the cross for them. Hallelujah. Your love reached out to them through Christ Jesus to save them. And hallelujah, Lord God, they're your children that have been washed in the blood. They're born again. Hallelujah. Lord God, they have your life in them. The Holy Spirit indwells them. Hallelujah. And I thank you this morning. The devil's been messing with your children. And Father, I want to thank you. I'm standing with my brethren in the name of Jesus. I'm standing together with them. Hallelujah. In that name above every name. And I thank you, devil. Your time's ending right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to be getting your hands off the body of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you, Spirit, in Jesus' name. I command you to cease and desist in your actions against my sister in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Devil, you've played around for a long time with this. You've taunted him. You've done things. But in the name of Jesus, this day it will end in Jesus' name. I take authority over you, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus. He's not unclean. He's clean in the name of Jesus. He belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. And you go. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Freedom and rest for you. Freedom and rest for you in the name of Jesus. There's pressures. There's pressures. Become. Don't take them to yourself. It's not you. It's not you. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to loose her and let her go. Hallelujah. And I call her mind free. Free in the name of Jesus. Free. Hallelujah. 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 Any kind of fear, any kind of anxiety has to go in the name of Jesus. It cannot stay because it is not yours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. And it's working mightily in you. Satan, release him and let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Walking in joy. That's the place for you to be. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A rest and peace in your mind in the name of Jesus. A smile on your face. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you lying spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You loose him and let him go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Free. Free in the name of Jesus. Free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Walking free. Walking in a place of rest. That's what God's called you to. Hallelujah. Ha ha. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Hallelujah. For God's plan. God's plan is set for you to walk in. So rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Because the enemy's a liar. And you will fulfill and you will walk in what God has called you to. Devil, get your hands off of God's servant in the name of Jesus. Loose him and let him go in Jesus' name. 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 Father, I just pray over all of us here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, you're not going to carry out things, Lord. There's things that you have said to people in this place and you have spoken and they've heard it and listened to it. But that time's over right now. Right now that time is over. I thank you that freedom right now, freedom. Hallelujah. That, oh yes, yes, yes. The vision of the past that you had, that you thought has bypassed you, that vision has not bypassed. That's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. You've seen it one time in yourself. You've seen and looked into the future in times past, and you saw yourself, and you saw things being done, and you thought, oh, time is gone. Time is gone. I haven't walked. I've messed up here. I messed up there. No, don't you believe the lie. You may have messed up, but God is able to set in order again and bring back that vision once more for you to walk in and to live it. In the name of Jesus Christ, devil, get your hands off of God's children in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, refresh again. Refresh again, Lord God. And bring back the vision to them again of the past. Hallelujah. What you have shown them, and bring it, Lord God, that they will walk in it. And God's glory will be revealed in them. And I thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And the Lord just spoke this to me. My spirit just rose up and said, now it's time for communion. It's time for fellowship. See, it's time for fellowship. See, God ain't nervous. See, the things that, hallelujah, that's what He wants with you. He wants fellowship. See, He can have fellowship with you. Ain't nothing He can't do through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's take our seats and we're going to obey God. And we're going to have communion this morning. Hallelujah.